Welcome to our deep dive into a really, really dark chapter in American history. We're going to be talking about lynching, particularly how it targeted Black Americans between 1882 and 1894.
Oh, wow.
And our guide for this journey is Ida B. Wells Barnett's powerful book, The Red Record.
Yeah, The Red Record isn't just a historical document.
Right.
It's a carefully researched expose.
Oh, wow.
Using statistics and accounts often reported by white people themselves.
Wow.
To reveal the shocking truth about lynching. It's crucial to understand this history.
Right.
Especially as we work toward a more just future.
Yeah.
Right here in our corner of Southeast Houston.
I think sometimes, you know, history can feel so far removed from our daily lives.
Right.
But what I think is so striking about The Red Record is how Wells Barnett connects these horrific events to the very fabric of American society.
Yeah, and she does that right from the start.
Right.
Hitting us with a staggering statistic. Over 10,000 Black people were murdered by mobs between 1882 and 1894. Even more disturbing is the fact that during the same period, only 3 white men were ever tried, convicted, and executed for murdering Black people.
Wow.
That stark contrast really sets the stage for understanding the racial dynamics at play.
It's almost unimaginable, that level of impunity. And as I was reading, I kept thinking, what were the justifications for this violence? Wells Barnett tackles that head on, doesn't she?
She does.
Dissecting the common myths used to excuse lynching.
Yeah.
What are some of those?
One of the most common excuses was the idea of lynchings as a response to race riots.
Okay.
But Wells Barnett meticulously picks apart this argument,
yeah,
pointing out that in these so-called riots, the vast majority of those killed were Black.
Right.
Despite the supposed threat of Black violence.
So the race riot excuse really served as a cover for white mob violence aimed at terrorizing Black communities.
Exactly.
Okay.
And another myth she tackles is the idea of lynching to protect white womanhood.
Okay.
This is where it gets really disturbing.
Yeah.
Because she digs into what was really meant by accusations of rape against Black men.
So were these accusations always about, you know, the legal definition of the crime?
Wells Barnett argues that they weren't.
Okay.
She provides examples of cases where even consensual relationships between Black men and white women were twisted into accusations of rape to justify lynching.
Wow.
It's truly chilling to see how easily the narrative could be manipulated.
There were even some cases where accusations were completely fabricated.
Right.
One that really stuck with me was the story of William Offit from Ohio.
Okay.
He was sentenced to 15 years in prison based on a false rape accusation. And get this, years later, the woman confessed to making it up.
Oh my gosh.
She admitted that they had a consensual relationship.
Wow.
And she lied to avoid repercussions.
This case really highlights the danger of accepting accusations at face value.
Right.
Especially when racial prejudice is involved.
Right.
Sadly, many Black men in the South weren't even given the chance of a trial. They were lynched based solely on an accusation with no opportunity to defend themselves.
Devastating. It really makes you realize how the myth of the Black man as a dangerous predator,
right,
was used to justify horrific violence.
Yeah.
It's a myth that sadly continues to have repercussion even today.
You're right. It's crucial to understand how these deeply ingrained stereotypes can influence perceptions.
Right.
And contribute to the racial disparities,
yes,
we still see in our justice system today.
Absolutely.
By confronting these uncomfortable truths from the past, we can start to dismantle the structures of racism that persist in our society.
And The Red Record doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
Wells Barnett also tackles the myth that lynchings only happened in remote areas with no law enforcement.
Yeah, she uses the example of the Roanoke lynching in 1893 to shatter that myth.
Okay.
Roanoke was a major city in Virginia.
Right.
With a functioning police force.
Right.
And yet, a mob still managed to lynch a Black man named Smith.
Oh, wow.
And get this, the accusation against Smith wasn't even rape.
What?
It was an argument with a white woman at a market.
An argument. That's all it took. For a man's life to be brutally taken by a mob, it really underscores how flimsy the excuses for lynching could be.
And she provides so many more examples.
Yeah.
Men lynched for things like stealing hogs, being saucy to white people, even for wife beating. It's almost unfathomable.
Wow.
She even documents cases where no reason was given at all.
Oh, wow.
Just a short announcement in the newspaper. Unknown Negro lynched.
Wow.
It was so commonplace that it barely warranted an explanation.
It wasn't just hanging either, was it? She describes men being shot, burned alive, tortured. The brutality is hard to even comprehend.
It is. One story that particularly stands out,
yeah,
due to the sheer injustice of it all, is the lynching of Hamp Biscoe, his wife, and their young son in Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
This wasn't a case of mistaken identity,
okay,
or a rush to judgment.
Right.
Bisco was known to be mentally unstable, and after a dispute with a white man over a debt, a shootout occurred, leaving the white man injured.
So you would think the legal system would handle things from there, right?
You would think so.
Okay.
But instead, a mob decided to take matters into their own hands.
Wow.
They stormed Bisco's cabin, shooting him, his pregnant wife, and their 13-year-old son.
Oh my gosh.
The details, as reported by a white investigator, are truly gruesome.
It's heartbreaking. It just makes you think, where was the law in all of this? Where was the justice? It seems like Wells Barnett is making a point about the true purpose of lynching throughout the Red Record. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And wasn't about upholding the law.
Right.
It was about power, terror, and racial control.
Right.
Lynching was a brutal tool to maintain white supremacy, regardless of guilt or innocence.
Right.
And by giving these victims names and telling their stories, Wells Barnett reminds us that they weren't just statistics. They were human beings whose lives were tragically cut short.
Such an important point. I think the Red Record isn't just a historical record.
No.
It's a powerful indictment of this dark chapter in American history.
And it forces us to confront the uncomfortable reality that these horrific events weren't just isolated incidents.
Right.
They were part of a larger system designed to oppress and control Black people.
Yeah.
And as we delve deeper into the Red Record,
right,
you'll see how Wells Barnett masterfully uses individual cases,
okay,
to really drive home the flaws,
yeah,
and justifications for lynching.
It's one thing to talk about these myths in a general sense.
Right.
But when you see how they played out in real lives,
yeah,
in our own state,
yeah,
even it takes on a whole new level of horrifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One case that really exemplifies this,
okay,
is the story of Charles J. Miller.
Okay.
A Black man lynched in Kentucky back in 1893.
Okay.
He was accused of murdering two young white girls.
Oh, wow.
Which, on the surface, might seem like a clear-cut case.
Right.
Where even with potential doubts about his guilt,
right,
the crime itself was undeniably horrific.
You'd think so, but was there strong evidence against Miller?
That's where it gets troubling.
Okay.
The evidence was incredibly shaky.
Okay.
His identification came from a witness who had initially claimed the perpetrator was white.
Wait, they lynched a Black man based on someone,
yeah,
who contradicted their own description.
It's crazy, right?
It seems like racial bias was already influencing the investigation from the start.
It certainly raises those questions.
Right.
And there was even more evidence pointing away from Miller.
Okay.
A Black woman testified that she had served breakfast to a different Black man.
Okay.
On the morning of the murders.
Okay.
A man wearing a blue flannel suit.
Right.
But Miller wasn't wearing a blue flannel suit when he was arrested.
It sounds like there were significant inconsistencies in the case against him.
There were.
Okay, what about the girls' families?
Yeah.
Did they believe Miller was guilty?
Believe it or not, the girl's own father,
wow,
expressed doubts about Miller's guilt.
Wow.
And insisted he be given a fair trial.
Wow.
But the mob wasn't interested in justice.
Right.
They were fueled by a thirst for vengeance.
Right.
And a deep-seated racial prejudice.
This case really illustrates how a mob can just disregard facts and evidence,
yeah,
when they've already decided on someone's guilt.
Precisely.
And to make matters worse, Wells Barnett points out that Miller maintained his innocence until his death.
Right.
Even offering to have his clothes tested for blood.
Yeah.
Did they ever test his clothes?
They did.
Okay.
But the results were never revealed to the public.
So if the tests had confirmed his guilt,
right,
you can bet they would have been used to justify the lynching.
Absolutely.
The fact that they were kept secret speaks volumes.
It does.
It's as if they were determined to lynch him regardless of the truth.
It seems that way.
This case just underscores so many of the injustices that Wells Barnett exposes.
Right.
The presumption of guilt against Black individuals, the denial of due process, the unchecked power of the mob.
It's a stark reminder,
yeah,
of how vulnerable Black people were during this era.
Right.
Their lives could be taken away.
Right.
On the flimsiest of accusations.
Right.
With no opportunity to defend themselves.
It's just devastating.
It is.
Wells Barnett wasn't just recounting these stories for shock value, was she?
No.
She used them to paint a larger picture of American society at the time.
You're right.
It was a national crisis.
Right.
It was a symptom of the deep-seated racism that permeated American society. It's a stark indictment of American democracy.
It is.
How could a nation that prided itself on freedom and justice allow this kind of barbarity to go unpunished?
She challenged white Americans,
right,
to confront their complicity in this system of violence.
Right.
She called on them to speak out,
yes,
demand justice, and work toward a society where all citizens were truly protected under the law.
It makes you wonder how much progress we've really made.
Yeah.
We still see these issues of racial injustice,
absolutely,
due process violations, and mob mentality playing out today.
Yes.
Even here in Southeast Houston.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it might take different forms.
Right.
But the underlying patterns are still there.
Yeah.
It's like history is rhyming.
It is.
If not repeating itself.
Exactly.
We hear about unarmed black people killed by police or vigilantes.
Right.
And there's that same rush to judgment, the assumption of guilt before innocence.
And social media has become a breeding ground for a new kind of mob mentality.
Yeah.
People are so quick to condemn and spread misinformation
without
waiting for all the facts.
Wells Barnett's work is so relevant because it reminds us that progress isn't automatic.
It's not.
We have to actively fight for justice.
We do.
Hold those in power accountable.
Yes.
And constantly challenge the systems that perpetuate inequality.
And it starts with awareness.
Yeah.
We have to understand history.
Yeah.
Recognize these patterns when they emerge.
Right.
And refuse to be bystanders.
So how do we take what we've learned from the Red Record and turn it into action? What concrete steps can we take to fight against injustice?
Well, Wells Barnett herself offered several solutions, many of which are still relevant today.
Okay.
For one, she emphasized the importance of documentation and information dissemination.
Right.
Basically, she believed in shining a light on the darkness, exposing the truth so that people couldn't ignore it.
So she also called on churches, community organizations, individuals, to speak out against lynching and demand justice.
Yeah.
She believed in putting pressure on elected officials to take action.
Yes.
And support legislation protecting black people from this violence.
That's right.
She believed in collective action.
She did.
But she also emphasized individual responsibility.
She did.
It wasn't enough to just be outraged.
Right.
People had to do something about it.
Exactly.
So it's not just about awareness. It's about action.
It is.
It's about making our voices heard.
Absolutely.
And taking concrete steps to address these issues.
And this is where the Red Record connects with our mission here at Thickenack locally.
Okay.
We're all about empowering residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena to take action.
Yes.
And make a difference in our community.
We provide information, resources, and a platform for people to get involved in local issues that matter to them.
Wells Barnett's work shows us that change is possible.
Right.
But it requires a collective effort.
Right.
We all have a role to play
in
dismantling the systems of oppression.
Right.
And creating a more just and equitable society.
And that's why we encourage you to think and act locally.
We do.
Get involved in local politics.
Yes.
Support organizations working for racial justice.
Absolutely.
And have those difficult conversations with your friends, family, and neighbors.
One of the most powerful things we can do is educate ourselves and others about the history of racial injustice in our country.
Absolutely.
By understanding the roots of these problems, we can better address them in the present.
The Red Record is a challenging read, but it's an essential one.
It is.
It opens our eyes to the realities of our past and challenges us to create a better future.
And as we continue our exploration of the Red Record, we'll delve deeper into Wells Barnett's analysis of the forces behind lynching and explore the strategies she proposed for combating this horrific practice.
We'll also discuss how her insights and activism provide a roadmap for navigating the challenges we face today and working toward a more just and equitable future for all. As we kind of wrap up our deep dive into the Red Record, I keep coming back to Wells Barnett's incredible courage.
Right.
You know, facing constant danger and personal hardship.
Yeah.
Just for speaking the truth about lynching.
Imagine being forced to flee your home.
Right.
Your business destroyed.
Right.
Threats coming from every direction.
Yeah.
Yet she never backed down.
Never backed down.
Dedicating her life to exposing this horrific practice.
Right.
And fighting for justice.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It really makes you think about the choices we make when faced with injustice.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, something huge and national like this.
Right.
Or even just a small act of discrimination we see happening, you know.
Yeah.
Right here in Deer Park.
Right.
LaPorte, Pasadena.
Absolutely.
Do we stay silent or do we find our own way to speak up?
Yeah. And the Red Record is more than just a collection of tragic stories.
Right.
It's a call to action.
Yeah.
Wells Barnett didn't just expose the problem. She proposed solutions.
Okay.
Many still relevant over a century later.
What were some of those solutions?
One of those solutions was pushing for federal legislation to protect black citizens.
Okay.
She saw lynching as a national crisis.
Okay.
Not just a southern problem.
Right.
Requiring a national response.
It's fascinating how she connected lynching to the very core of American society.
Yeah.
Arguing that it was a symptom of systemic racism.
Right.
Woven into the nation's fabric.
It's true.
She believed the government had a responsibility to protect all its citizens equally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that resonated with me, of course, as someone who believes in the power of local action to bring about national change.
Yeah, it's like she was saying, this isn't just about individual acts of violence.
Right.
It's about a system that allows those acts to happen.
Yeah.
And if the system is broken,
right,
it's on all of us to fix it.
Yeah.
Starting right here at home.
Exactly.
She also advocated for economic boycotts of businesses and communities that tolerated lynching.
Oh, wow.
Hitting them where it hurts.
Oh,
their
man.
Wallets to force change.
And of course, she understood the importance of education and awareness.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we're trying to do with this show, right?
Yeah, I see. Okay.
She wanted people to understand the true horror of lynching, to see the victims as human beings,
right?
Not just statistics.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to grasp how unjust the system was.
It's about changing hearts and minds,
right?
One person at a time.
One person at a time.
That's why we encourage our listeners to not only think about these issues,
right,
but to act on them.
Yes.
Get involved in local organizations.
Yeah.
Start conversations with your neighbors.
Right.
Use your voice to advocate for change.
Right. That's how we make a difference.
That's how we make a difference.
Right here in Southeast Houston.
Right here in Southeast Houston.
But there's one more solution Wells Barnett proposed that really struck me.
Okay.
And it's a powerful one.
Yeah.
Armed self-defense.
Wow.
As a last resort.
Yeah.
For Black communities facing imminent danger.
It's a radical idea.
Yeah.
Especially for a woman writing in the late 1800s.
It speaks to the desperation of the situation, doesn't it?
It does.
The feeling that the system wouldn't protect them.
Right.
Leaving them with no other choice.
Right.
And while her views on self-defense might be controversial.
Yeah.
They highlight the reality that Black people were constantly under threat.
They were.
With little legal recourse.
It makes you think about the choices people are forced to make.
Right.
When they feel completely powerless and unheard.
Absolutely.
Willis Barnett wasn't glorifying violence.
Right.
He was acknowledging a tragic reality.
Right. And it challenges us,
yeah,
to create a society where everyone feels safe and protected.
Absolutely.
Where they don't have to resort to violence to defend themselves.
Yes.
That's the world I think all of us.
Right.
No matter our background.
Right.
Want to live in?
For sure.
One of the most powerful takeaways from the Red Record,
yeah,
is that silence is not an option.
It's not.
Wells Barnett's work reminds us that progress requires courage.
It does.
Persistence and a willingness to confront uncomfortable truths.
It's a message that resonates deeply, especially here in Southeast Houston,
right,
where we're constantly working to build a more just and equitable community for all.
The Red Record is a challenging read.
It is.
But an essential one.
It is.
It forces us to confront the dark realities of our past.
Yeah.
And challenges us to create a better future.
It does.
And if you found value in our exploration of this book and its relevance to our lives today,
yeah, yeah,
we encourage you to support our work at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate.
Absolutely.
You'll find the link in the show notes.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.